Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Well, good morning, everyone. So glad you're here. Week two of our series on Pray Like It Matters. And I don't know if, like me, you have ever unintentionally offended someone, and then you realize that you unintentionally offended someone, and you know what? It was almost a little bit fun, so you decide to repeat it again and again because you or I can be that evil. One of the times that it occurred to me early in ministry, I was talking to someone, and somewhere the subject, the phrasing, the wording, the person was talking about the power of prayer. And I realized that I can, with the most straight face, say to them, I don't believe in the power of prayer. And there's a sort of this awkward silence, like they don't know what to say or how to respond. And they're like, can you say that again? And I'm like, I don't believe in the power of prayer. More awkward silence. Just let that tension build a little bit. Bite my tongue so I'm not overly smirking in the moment. Finally, I just sort of release that tension. I go to the next phase of the conversation, and I say, I don't believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of the one we pray to. And then there's sort of a little bit of a chuckle. There's a little bit of a laugh because they realize it's just a semantics conversation. I don't like the phrasing. I don't like the wording, the power of prayer. But when somebody says it, I know exactly what they mean. And that happens for 90-some percent of the conversations. But once in a while, somebody just, they're really offended and they need to lean in. They need to understand a little bit more. And I'll say, okay, let me just be as clear as what I can be. I don't believe in the power of prayer. You can pray to a golden calf. There is no power there. You can pray to a great prophet, an incredibly moral leader, a great biblical teacher. You can pray to anyone like that, and there is no power there. The power simply is in the one to whom we pray. And they're like, okay, we get it. We get it. Max Lucado says it like this: when we work, but when we pray, God works, because that's where the power is. And I make room for God to do what only God can do, and you make room for God to do what only God can do, and we make room for God to do what only God can do. And Jesus teaches it like this. He says, when you pray, he says, pray to your heavenly Father. Pray to your Father who is in heaven, because that's where the power is. The power is in whom we pray to. And we have Jesus' disciples, you know, they see Jesus in action. They see his life. They see his ministry. And they're constantly finding Jesus in prayer. And there's something about the way that Jesus prays. Jesus prays like it matters, like his ministry, like his life depends on it. And there is this power that is released whenever Jesus prays. And his disciples are like, Jesus, we want to learn to pray like you pray, not like what we've prayed all of our lives. We want to learn to pray like you pray. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you. And this is where we went last week. Some of the things that we learned last week, some of the summary things, Jesus starts out with all those don'ts, right? Don't. He says, when you pray, don't do this. Don't make it all about being seen by other people. Get private. Get alone. And he says, please, I'm a busy man. Don't babble, right? Don't go on and on. Prayer is not about the quantity of words or the quality of words that we use. It's just being real and open and honest with our Heavenly Father. He says, here's what I would love for you to do. Here's the model of Jesus' prayers where he starts out. He says, do get quiet. Do shut out the distractions of life. And then do submit your will to your Heavenly Father. And that's where we ended last week. As a matter of fact, here's where we were in Scripture. Where we were in Scripture was, Jesus says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And where we stopped last week was on the focus of your name, your kingdom, your will. And our group assignment, our assignment as a church body this past week was to spend some time talking to our Heavenly Father, just building that relationship, but to begin to experiment with language that bends our knee to the Father's will. What Jesus taught, what Jesus modeled. Hey, God, not my kingdom, not my desires, not my will. You already know what I want, but I submit to you. I bend my knee to you. I bow before you. And above everything else, would it be your will that's done? Your kingdom that comes? Your name that is glorified, that is established? My good, perfect Heavenly Father, you already know all that's going on in me and around me. You know the desires of my heart. You know my wants. You know my needs. And I bow before you as my King and as my Lord. And I say your name, your kingdom, your will. And that's as far as we got last week. But we didn't get to talk about this our Father in heaven part enough. And that's where I want to start off today. Because some of us start off in our prayer life, some of us start off in our relationship with God at a deficit. Now, none of us have perfect earthly fathers. We all have a perfect heavenly father. But honestly, some of our fathers are more imperfect than others. I'm not a perfect dad. And if you grew up with a very far from perfect father, praying like this can be so incredibly difficult. If your father was absent, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it's hard to imagine a heavenly father who is so close, who is not distant. You have to work through that. There's some soul care. There's some healing that needs to take place. If your earthly father was abusive, verbally, physically, emotionally, it's hard to come at a trusting attitude to your heavenly father. There's work that needs to be done. And part of the way that work gets done is just by spending time in prayer and conversation, talking to and listening to our perfect heavenly father. Because I want you to understand this clearly. If you grew up with a father who was far from perfect, you need to understand that your heavenly father has your best interest at heart. Your heavenly father wants to develop a loving, intimate relationship with you. When Jesus talks about praying to our Father in heaven, it's all the good stuff that goes with our earthly fathers, but so much more with our perfect Father in heaven, full of power and grace and love and mercy, who desires and wants what is best for your life, for your heart, for your soul, for your mind. So as you spend time with your Heavenly Father in prayer, would you just allow trust to be established and built? As you spend time with your Heavenly Father in prayer, would you allow Him to heal what has been hurt? To spend time with your Heavenly Father in prayer, would you just allow Him to grow you, that trust, that confidence of knowing what is best for you? May you allow His love to replace any fear as you come to know your perfectly Heavenly Father. And then Jesus goes on, because there's more to His model of prayer. And He says this, He says, "Give us today the food we need." You and I are to pray like this. Heavenly Father, give us today the food that we need. Have you ever thought about how limiting this prayer is? You know, in our culture, in our society, in our world, how limiting this is. Today, what we need. Not about tomorrow or next week or next month. It's give us today the food that we need. No stockpiling of resources. Heavenly Father, would you just help me stockpile more and more? Can I build a bigger pantry? I'm thinking about buying another deep freeze. Would you just help me, you know, stockpile more and more, God? There's no making sure in this prayer that all of our tomorrows will be covered, is there? And that's incredibly foreign for most of us. Because if you've never had this summary before, I don't want you to miss this. This is a prayer of dependence. This is a prayer of dependence. When Jesus teaches us to pray, he teaches us to pray with a prayer of dependence. And this is so foreign for us, right? Because someone, help me out here. Since elementary school, you studied, you learned about the Declaration of Independence, right? And we get that. And we're really good at like big titles, like, you know, the Declaration of Independence. We forget about all the things that go underneath that. And we're like, come on, I'm supposed to be independent. And, you know, really good Pennsylvania Dutch, the land that we live. I'm supposed to make sure that my tomorrows are taken care of. I'm supposed to manage money wisely. I might have, some of you had grandparents that had pantries of things canned. That, I mean, they could last decades, right? Some of you, your pantry is so full. Your freezer is so full. You got more than just for a few tomorrows, right? You could hold out months. If, you know, things go really sideways, you're in great shape. You're not going to starve. And there's no dependence on that. And some of you, you've managed your money so wisely that you don't have to work another day to make sure you have food for your tomorrows. As a matter of fact, some have managed their money so wisely, they don't have to work and they can not just eat their tomorrows, they can enjoy life, relax, go on vacation for tomorrows. In a world like that, and in a culture like that, this can seem so incredibly foreign to us. And Jesus says part of our daily prayer is to declare our dependence on God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord. Most of us. There's been a time in your life where you were living in the land of want. And maybe there's been some times in your life where you've been living in the land of plenty. And we're a diverse congregation this way. Some of us right now, we're living in the land of one, and some of us are living in the land of plenty. But most of us can remember a time when we didn't know how the bills were going to get paid. How our today and our tomorrows would be taken care of. We were living in that land of want. And then some things changed, and we're living in a land of plenty where, oh my words, I sleep a little bit easier. Because my tomorrows are already taken care of. And if we're being honest, good lunchtime conversation. If we're being honest, we all enjoy the times of plenty so much more. That's where we want to live. That's where we want to be. But also, if we were honest, we'd think back, we'd reflect, we'd remember that in those times of want, we were so much more dependent on our Heavenly Father. There were some things going on in our life, our prayer life, our relationship. There was just this dependence that was taking place that gave us a much more intimate relationship. So how do you even go to adjust this? How do you and I adjust our prayer life to go after what Jesus has modeled? Let me give you another angle on this. Let's look at some wisdom literature. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. And the author has two requests, two favors of God. The first is, God, help me not to ever lie. Never lie. Never tell a lie. But second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may still and thus insult God's holy name. Now, a modern paraphrase of this and a modern paraphrase of Jesus' teaching would not be, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" A modern paraphrase would not be anything in line with health and wealth and prosperity gospel. It's all about dependence. Would you agree with this statement? Compared to much of the world, many of us run the risk of losing an active sense of dependence on God because we have so much. Let me just repeat that. Compared to much of the world, many of us run the risk of losing an active sense of dependence on God because we have so much. So how do we combat that? How do we approach our Heavenly Father in an act of dependence and an attitude of dependence? How do we change that? I believe the way that we pray and what we pray can make all the difference. This past Wednesday, Pastor Philip, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Don, and I were all at a prayer gathering with all these other pastors, and there were all these different stations around the room. Some of those stations are here today. But one of those stations that isn't here today was this peace station. And there were some things on paper and some scripture read through and some questions to process and some places you could write out your own prayer of peace. And there were some items on the table to talk about the disruption of peace. But it ended up being one of the most powerful stations for me. Because I was sitting there and I was dealing with God and just praying and realizing that all too often I lose the peace that God wants me to have. It was like God so clearly spoke to me, and he said, "Doug, you are getting caught up in the lies of the world, and you lose your peace." Jesus doesn't just speak truth, he is truth. God just doesn't lie, he can't lie. And it became clear to me that my dependence for peace is fully on God and fully on his truth, fully on who he is. And that's a prayer of dependence. God, today, would you give me peace in a world that at times seems upside down? There are a lot of different ways that we can pray prayers of dependence. God, today, help me to love the way that you want me to love. God, today, would you help me to forgive others the way that you've asked me to forgive others? God, today, would you help me to see people the way that you see them? God, today, would you help me to battle lust? God, today, would you help me to battle jealousy and envy? God, today, would you help me to honor my parents? God, today, would you allow me to help those in need when I instead could make it all about me? And the list goes on and on and on. And those are all prayers of dependence. So maybe you want to write yourself a note or send yourself a text or an email, because this is what I would love us all to do this week. In your prayer time with your Heavenly Father, would you begin to experiment with what prayers of dependence look like for you? Where you can pray with authenticity, with integrity, "God, today, here's what I need without you. It won't happen. God, today, here's where I'm dependent on you. God, today, would you do this for me?" And before we move on to the next part of Jesus' prayer, I want us to revisit that Declaration of Independence. Because like I said, we get all caught up in the titles and we forget the stuff below. Last paragraph, let me just give you a sample of the two lines from the last paragraph of our Declaration of Independence. You probably knew this and already had it memorized, but in case you don't, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions." And then just a sentence later, "and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence." Now, language changes. There's some words in here that we don't use on a daily basis anymore. But just from context, even if you didn't do a deep dive and study, who do you think Supreme Judge of the world and divine providence is referring to? It's God. It's language for our Heavenly Father, for our Lord, our God, the creator of the universe. And in our Declaration of Independence, don't miss this, we have this language of, I'm appealing to you, I'm pleading, we're begging, we can't make this happen without you. We have this language of reliance, this depending on. We can't do this without your help. So I find it somewhat unique and refreshing that even in our Declaration of Independence, we have declarations of dependence on our Heavenly Father. Our founding fathers knew that we weren't meant to do this life on our own, pull ourselves up fully by our own bootstraps, to be self-reliant, but we were to always be dependent on our Heavenly Father. Not just show appreciation to our Heavenly Father, but show dependence on our Heavenly Father. And if you're thinking that that's probably maybe the hardest part of Jesus' model of prayer, you've likely forgotten what comes next. Because Jesus goes on in Matthew 6 and he says, "And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." In the sister passage in Luke, "And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Now, you've probably actually prayed this scripture before. And have you ever realized what it is that you and I pray when we pray this scripture? My Father in heaven, if I haven't forgiven others, don't forgive me. Have you ever thought through the implications of this? When I struggle with forgiving other people, does God struggle with forgiving me? When I'm harboring resentment, bitterness, anger, hate, malice, and such towards other people, does that mean that God is choosing not to forgive me? And right now you're probably thinking, well, you know, that sounds like a really conditional prayer. If I do this, then God does that. That can't be right. There's no way. And Jesus knows that we're going to struggle with this part of his model for prayer. So just a few verses later in verse 12, in verse 14, he says it like this. "If you forgive those who sinned against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you, then your Heavenly Father will. If you don't, then your Heavenly Father will not." You can ponder that one for a long time, right? But at the heart of our Heavenly Father, this idea of not just receiving his forgiveness, but forgiving others is so key. It is so essential. It is taught over and over again. Jesus teaches it over and over and over again. Maybe a paraphrase will lighten the mood a little bit. Maybe it'll make it a little bit easier. Paraphrases often do that, right? In prayer, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. Okay, that didn't help at all, right? That didn't make it any easier at all. It seems like Jesus just doubles down on this whole idea of the importance of us forgiving others as we receive forgiveness from our Heavenly Father. And they don't miss it. God, would you help me? Because, man, this isn't something we can easily do on our own strength. On our own strength, we can get bitter. On our own strength, we can harbor resentment all day long. In our own strength, we can replay those conversations, those tapes over and over in our mind of how that person hurt us or offended us. Man, we have enough strength on our own to take all of that to the grave. It's in God's strength that we can forgive those who have hurt and who have harmed us. If you're sitting here and you're younger, The earlier you learn this, the better it will be for you. I want you to think about it like this. Get a name or a face in your mind. Picture someone that you know who is jaded or who is bitter, who is scorned. Get a name or face in your mind of someone who just seems to always have a chip on their shoulder. Get a name or a face of someone in your life who doesn't exactly come off as the most positive person. You got that name? You got that face? Here's the question. Do they struggle with forgiveness? Do they struggle with forgiveness? Have you observed, have you noticed, have you experienced the connection between the ability to forgive and emotional health or spiritual maturity? It's so easy for us to get stuck in unforgiveness. When we get stuck in unforgiveness, we almost always get stuck in other parts of our lives. And your Heavenly Father, who wants what is best for you, wants you to be released from that. Let's go back to Jesus' model for prayer. When Jesus teaches us to pray like this, this is the difference between bitter and better. If you're stuck emotionally or spiritually, or you're stuck at some other place in your life, would you just take some time to process? Just get real with your Heavenly Father. Is it possible that you're stuck with some area of unforgiveness in your life? There's someone who you just can't release. I get it. The stories are awful. And I get it. They don't really deserve to be forgiven. Sometimes they don't even think they've done anything wrong. They don't want your forgiveness because they don't think they need your forgiveness. It's not about them. It's about you. It's about me. And our Heavenly Father, who loves you so much and wants what is best for your life. He says, come on, you got to release. You got to let go. You have to forgive. And it's so much easier to say than it is to do. Let's look at one other piece of scripture where Jesus is teaching on prayer. Just so you understand, he teaches this over and over and over again. It's an odd piece of scripture. Jesus has cursed a fig tree. He's cleared the temple. He said, hey, you can ask that mountain to go into the sea and it'll happen. And then he teaches this in Mark 11. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. It's the exact same teaching again. And as often as I've taught on forgiveness, man, I know how hard this is. It is so easy to carry a grudge. It is so easy for those wounds to come back and rent space in my brain. And I understand that whenever I can't release that person, and I'm not even attempting to release that person, I'm getting stuck in unforgiveness, and it's harming my relationship with my Heavenly Father, and it's harming my relationship with those around me that I love the most. And Jesus doesn't just teach this, he models it. On the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. He teaches it, he models it, he lives it out, and he asks it of us. Here's how we're going to end our time today. Lots of options. You got a handout, more than you can possibly do in this bit of time. There's some things on a handout that you can do right at your seat. Declaring your dependence on God, dealing with forgiving someone. Then you can get up and you can move. There's two corners where we have communion, and we practice open communion here. You don't need to be a member of Crossroads Church, just It is open for anyone who has made a decision to follow Jesus. There's gluten-free options at the table. We also have a steward who will come and serve you right where you're at if you don't want to get up and move. But you got time. Time to reflect, time to respond. There's scripture at the communion tables. You can read that. There's these robe stations that are talked about on your handout. You can participate on that. There's other pieces you can do at your seat, or just find a good, quiet place anywhere in this building. You're not going to get to it all. Some of this you can take home with you and do it there. If you're online, the attachment is available there for you to be able to reproduce or do at home as well. So just spend some time reflecting, responding. Take some time just being with your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you want what is best for us. When Jesus taught us the model of how to pray, it was fully in line of who you are and what you want for our lives. So may we spend some time this week just declaring our dependence on you. Father, give us today what we so desperately need. Holy Spirit, if there's some areas of unforgiveness in our life, some people that we've just not been able to release or let go or be free from, may we deal with that honestly and openly before you. Give us the strength to forgive. And it's not a once and done. It's an over and over and over thing. Help us not to get stuck in the land of unforgiveness. So we approach your table and we're reminded of the bread, which is Jesus' body given for us, and the cup, his blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. May we focus on that forgiveness that we so freely receive, because it is a free gift from you to anyone who chooses to follow you. So we come before you. Time to just be with you. Time to respond to you. Speak clearly to us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.